AFA Action takes attacks on the family seriously. The enemies of the family constantly employ new tactics to try to sneak past our radar. They know if we stand together, their evil plans will fail. Your gift to AFA Action allows us to stay vigilant against their onslaught. And if you give this month, you'll receive access to the Cultural Institute video, When Your Faith is Illegal, by Frank Harbor on AFA Stream as our thanks. You can make your gift today at afaaction.net. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I wanted to read to you from Psalm 34. Psalm 34, verse 1, David said, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." What a great passage of scripture to wake up to. You wake up to that every morning and bless the Lord and praise him no matter what's going on. God inhabits the praises of his people. Well, lots going on in our world. It seems as if from last Monday when Donald Trump was inaugurated as the 47th president, there has been a blitzkrieg of presidential activity. As one person put it, article I read, we've gone from the invisible President Biden to the omnipresent President Trump. He's just doing so much in such a short period of time. And I wanted to discuss that with somebody that knows Trump and has been on the inside in the first presidency. And that is my friend Jenna Ellis from Jenna Ellis in the Morning. And she was gracious to stay on and discuss this with me. So Jenna, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. I so appreciate you being on, and happy second week of America being back. It's been amazing to see what Trump has accomplished so far.
It's unbelievable how much energy this guy has. And so, Jenna, one of the things I wanted to get your perspective on, so Trump's first week in 2017 versus Trump's second week in first week in 2025, how would you describe the differences between those two?
Yeah, I think the difference is very stark, and you're seeing that Trump and his team, his transition team, was so much more prepared the second time. They had over 200 executive orders ready for him to sign moments after his inauguration, and then seeing everything that he's done just in this first week, I think it shows that he didn't need any sort of learning curve. I mean, when he came in 2017, he was the political outsider. And that was a huge reason that a lot of us supported him. We wanted somebody who was the real estate mogul, knew all about American exceptionalism from being a great businessman, to actually come into government and to utilize that skill set in the government. But it took him a little bit to kind of get up to speed, like it would anybody, you know, coming into a new job. Well, it's not new for him anymore, and he's showing that very clearly. And I think with how he rolled out so quickly all of his nominees, even before he was inaugurated, so that they could be confirmed, a lot of them within this first week of his presidency, and then his executive orders, and how he is just hitting the ground running. It's showing that he is so much more prepared, and I'm really grateful, Pastor Jeff, that it seems like his administration this time around with some of the personnel are actually with his agenda, because what I saw on the inside, and of course I was personal counsel to him and then worked for the campaign, not in the administration, but what I saw in the administration up close and personal was how so many people working around him were actually undermining him even from within, not to mention all of the Democrats that attacked him falsely and, you know, one hoax after the other, but how many people had their own agenda coming in. And I think that a lot of credit needs to be given to his chief of staff, Susie Wiles. She is ensuring that there's just no drama, because there was so much that went on. I mean, even that I personally saw, and a huge reason I didn't even go into the campaign office much when I was working for him, is because so many people just needless, endless drama, leaks to the press, all kinds of things. You're not seeing that now. It's a lot more united. And I really give Susie Wiles a lot of credit for that.
Jenna, what would you say about the VP in 2017, Mike Pence, versus the VP in 2025, J.D. Vance? How would you compare those two guys?
Well, you know, I really was a big fan of Mike Pence, and I think throughout his entire term until the Operation Warp Speed and COVID, all of that, which we saw, unfortunately, he didn't stand up for religious freedom and for other freedoms as much as we would have preferred. I think he really misused that opportunity. That, in my opinion, it was his greatest failure in his vice presidency. I know, you know, a lot of people don't like him for other reasons, but that to me was his biggest pitfall and mistake. But he was an ardent supporter of life, and I give him a lot of credit for that. And I think that J.D. Vance, especially speaking in the first week at the March for Life, is standing up firmly. And I think going on CBS as well with his first interview and just knocking it out of the park, I think he's going to be a great second to Trump and be a really good advocate in the media, as well as for millennials. I mean, that's my generation, and I'm really excited to see that we now have representation, if you want to call it that. Not that, you know, we're a fan of DEI. We don't need that. I want the most competent person. But I'm excited to see the most competent person being someone from the next generation so that we're seeing the torch can be passed.
J.D. Vance has to be one of the best at handling a difficult interview. I mean, he just brings it right back to the truth and doesn't give up an inch and doesn't seem to get angry. I think the interview that I saw, was it yesterday with Margaret Brennan, Trump in that situation, he would have said, well, you're nasty, and, you know, he just gets mad. But J.D. just comes back with facts, and he just nails her to the wall. I was really impressed.
Phenomenal. Yeah, and that's the same thing he did during the debate against Tim Walz and against the moderator. You know, really, it's always on those things, you know, multiple people on one. But he has a command of the facts. He's not argumentative. He's very kind in his approach, very solid. And I think that's a good contrast as well to Trump's, you know, more bombastic style that, you know, people love or hate it. And to me, it's just, that's just Trump and whatever. But it is a good contrast that he is very poised and just unbothered as he's answering these responses.
Okay, so Jenna, you and I were both together in, you know, going back a year or so, we were saying, I wish Trump would get out of the way and hand off the baton to Ron DeSantis, the best governor in America, hands down, and he would make a great president. But I have been surprised at how well Trump did, obviously did great in the election, and now he's hit the ground running, and, you know, he's, as I've said on here, he's the Energizer Bunny. He's a Timex watch. He takes a licking and keeps on ticking. Have you been surprised at how well he has done, how well he did in the campaign, and how well he's done in the first week?
Yeah, you know, I'm really glad you asked that because I addressed that same question in my first segment this morning on air because, you know, so many people are asking that question. Like, do you regret supporting Governor DeSantis in the primary? And how dare you have questions about Trump during the election and saying he's not going to do, you know, all of those accusations. And, right. You know, my perspective is if Governor DeSantis was now President DeSantis, he would be standing up for life and I would be supporting that. I'd be very excited. But the bottom line for Americans and especially for Christians is whoever is in office, if they are putting out the wins that Donald Trump did this week, we're going to champion that. So I am surprised, frankly, compared to the rhetoric that was during the campaign and even my own personal conversations with him after he left office and when he was saying that, you know, the Dobbs decision was a mistake, you know, some of these things that led us truly to believe that he wouldn't be as pro-life. Those were genuine and real concerns that we should address because we're not going to change our priorities as Christians depending on who the politician is. So those were real questions. And I am very surprised, but I am so incredibly grateful that I can support enthusiastically this second administration, what he has done during this week. I'm grateful that he is the president over Kamala Harris. Of course, I supported him over Kamala Harris, no question. And, you know, you're never going to support a perfect candidate 100%. Right. When he got the nomination, of course, I was disappointed. I wanted Governor DeSantis to. But the bottom line is, for the pro-life wins this week, I think whether it was Trump or DeSantis, both would have done excellently on that. And I'm so grateful I can say that about Donald Trump. And it's not a, wow, I wish he was as pro-life as he had been the first term. I am thankful that Trump 2.0 is poised to be even better than the first administration. I am all for that.
Yeah, I am too. I think it is, I've heard some people say this, you know, having that 4-year break of Biden to come back to Trump, at the time we didn't think it was good, but sure seems to be good now. Trump has he has a take no prisoners attitude, and you know, it's like, what can you do to me? I'm going to do these things that I promised. And he is a guy, promises made, promises kept. We're seeing that in spades his first week.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is really fantastic. And, you know, if he had been as pro-life and, you know, some of these things that he's actually doing in the campaign, I think you and I could have supported him more enthusiastically, right, even in the general. But it maybe was a good thing that he didn't do that. I mean, it was kind of this, it was a risk because some evangelicals were saying, you know, hey, we can't vote for him, and they were torn. And, you know, whether or not they did, I think there was a huge turnout. It was a risk. But I think he kind of tamped down that rhetoric during his campaign to try to win over some of the people that were really against what Kamala Harris was doing. And so I think it worked out for him. It was a gamble. It paid off. But ultimately, you know, yeah, this is a really great thing for the country. It's great for pro-life. It's great for our priorities. And we just need to, you know, let go of all of the primaries. So I still support DeSantis as my governor. I still support Vivek. I think he's great. Marco Rubio, who ran against him in 2016, is now a Secretary of State. I mean, I have never seen, Pastor Jeff, how much conflict there is between all of these groups just based on who people supported in a primary. And I think it's because of the personality cult that is Trump. And I get that. He is magnetic, especially in person. But really, we have to remember as Christians, this is all about the principle, not the person. And it doesn't matter who's in office, whether it's Trump, DeSantis, or a Democrat, we always will have our fidelity to the principle. And if Trump is pushing out pro-life, good policy, and conservative policy, closing the borders, America first, then hey, I am all for that. And I am definitely praying for him to succeed. And I'm super happy that Trump 2.0 is this phenomenal already.
Amen. Okay, so Jenna, just in the little bit of time we have left, let's talk about the illegal immigration and Tom Homan and going all in. My daughter Jill sent me this text this morning. She said, Dad, it might be smart to address this liberal thinking that Christians are to love their neighbor, meaning love immigrants. Therefore, being for deportation means you are hateful and a bad Christian. How do you answer that argument?
Well, that's obviously taking the words of Scripture out of context, because we are, as Christians, as individuals, called to love our neighbor. And what does loving our neighbor mean? It means speaking the truth, and it also means trying to win them over for the kingdom of Christ. And God also instituted the civil government for protections. He ordained sovereign nations. Nations have to have borders. It is a right of nations, and it's actually it is a Christian obligation of nations, a biblical worldview, to protect the citizens of their country first. Just like parents are called to love their neighbor, but that's not at expense of not locking their home, not protecting their own children. Right. God ordained and instituted the family as well. And we have borders, we have walls in our homes, right, to ensure that we keep the bad people out, that we keep our children safe. Parents have an obligation to protect their children as much as governments have an obligation to protect their citizens. So this is not about not loving our neighbor. This is about recognizing the institutions that God ordained and the duties and obligations of nations to protect the rights that come from God, our Creator, to each and every one of our citizens.
Hey, Jenna, just real quick, what do you make of the fact that Trump is, I don't think he understands salvation, but he sure seems to like Christians. What would you say to that?
Yeah. You know, I've had so many great conversations with him about that. I think he does have a genuine belief in God. I think that he has a measure of faith, whether or not he always acts on that, you know, not all of us do. And we can certainly pray for him in that regard. But I know that he sincerely does respect Christians and hopefully will continue to populate his administration with faithful Christians as well.
Amen. Well, you've been listening to Jenna Ellis. Jenna, thank you so much for coming on today. We've been talking We've been talking about of Trump's presidency. Amazing how much the guy has done just in 1 week. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve. We'll be right back after the break.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, and we're talking about what everybody's talking about, and that is the speed of President Trump's policies going into effect, promises made, promises kept, as people talk about. As the article that I read said, the title of the article, we've gone from the invisible president, Joe Biden, to the omnipresent President Donald Trump. Now, obviously, Donald Trump's not omnipresent, but it's amazing what that guy has done in just a week of his presidency. Many of you know that Colombia wouldn't receive, the president of Colombia says, we're not receiving our citizens that Trump, you know, rounded up through Tom Homan and ICE. They rounded up these guys and sending them back to Colombia. And the Colombian president said, no, we're not going to take them. What are you going to do about that? And Trump said, you know, hey, you're not dealing with Joe Biden. And so he came back with heavy sanctions. And this is what we're going to do. And, you know, if you want to play chicken with me, you're going to lose. And within a very short period of time, that guy reversed his policies and said, I'll send my plane to go get those people. And, you know, as somebody pointed out on X, what does it say about these people if their own governments don't want them back in their country? You know, Trump had made the claim that some of these South American countries were unloading their prisons and saying, send them to America. We don't want these guys in our country. And so we gladly receive them. And as Jenna said just a moment ago, you know, loving your neighbor, that doesn't mean that you leave your door open at night. You know, you love the people that God has put in your care, as a man, your wife and your kids, and you, because you love them, you lock your door at night, you make sure they're safe. And so this idea that if you really love your neighbor, everything's wide open, take everything I have, that's not the right way to think about it. Tom Homan was asked that about the Catholic Church condemning what we were doing in America, and he said, well, you know, the Pope lives in the Vatican. And you can't just walk into the Vatican. You have to come in legally. If you scale the wall to try and come in, you're arrested and put in jail. And so he said, you know, he wants protection for himself, but he doesn't want America to do the same thing. It doesn't make any sense. It's totally illogical. Well, perhaps you saw the interview that J.D. Vance did with Margaret Brennan of Face the Nation on CBS. Rush Limbaugh used to call that program Disgrace the Nation. Well, she was coming after him hard, trying to trying to get him to, you know, backtrack or, you know, put him in the hot seat, so to speak. J.D. Vance is amazing. I don't think I've ever seen a guy as calm, cool, and collected as he when somebody's really coming at him. And just the way he takes those gotcha questions and turns them around on the interviewer. Margaret Brennan is, she looked like a rabid dog the way she was coming at him, interrupting him, and all the things that she was doing to try and trip him up. But she was talking about lowering food prices. And they had a big discussion about that, and, you know, and she's just coming at everything from such a negative standpoint, and looking for all the, you know, the negatives, the dirt that she can possibly dig up and find. Well, what about this? What about that? What about the other? Here is his discussion with her on the issue of inflation.
all of these executive orders? Which one lowers prices?
We have done a lot, and there have been a number of executive orders that have caused already jobs to start coming back into our country, which is a core part of lowering prices. More capital investment, more job creation in our economy is one of the things that's going to drive down prices for all consumers, but also raise wages so that people can afford to buy the things that they need. If you look
so
at our slate of executive
down.
Orders, no, Margaret, prices are going to come down, but it's going to take a little bit of time, mm-hmm. right? The president has been president for all of 5 days. I think that in those 5 days, he's accomplished more than Joe Biden did in 4 years. It's been an incredible breakneck pace of activity. We're going to work with Congress. We're, of course, going to have more executive orders. And we're going to try the way that you lower prices is that you encourage more capital investment into our country. And you ask specifically, what executive order is going to help lower prices? All of the stuff that we've done on energy, to explore more energy reserves, to develop more energy resources in the United States of America. One of the main drivers of increased prices under the Biden administration is that we had a massive increase in energy prices. Donald Trump has already taken multiple executive actions that are going to lower energy prices, and I do believe that means consumers are going to see lower prices at the pump and at the grocery store, but it's going to take a little bit of time. Rome wasn't built in a day,
yeah.
And while we've done a whole lot, we can't undo all of the damage of Joe Biden's presidency.
Well, there are a lot
of
things that contributed to higher energy prices, and there was record oil and gas production.
Yes, Joe Biden did many terrible things to lead to an increase in prices. I agree, Margaret.
No, but all the things you experience at the grocery store are what people touch and feel. That's what you were talking about, bacon on the campaign trail.
Of course. of course.
Those things. When do consumers actually get to touch and feel a difference in their lives?
Well, Margaret, how does bacon get to the grocery store? It comes on trucks that are fueled by diesel fuel. If the diesel's way too expensive, the bacon's going to become more expensive. How do we grow the bacon? Our farmers need energy to produce it. So if we lower energy prices, we are going to see lower prices for consumers, and that is what we're trying to fight for.
Well,
so that was J.D. Vance explaining to Margaret Brennan how lowering the energy costs is going to bring down inflation. She doesn't seem to understand that. It's as if, you know, she just has her angle that she's coming in and she's going to be she's on attack mode. I mean, she's on the left, and that's what they do. I'm not expecting her to be, hey, J.D., you guys are doing great. We're all excited. But you got to be unbiased, and these people are obviously biased and not, you know, not giving Trump and Vance their due. I think anybody that would be fair and balanced would say, hey, you guys have accomplished a lot. I might not agree with everything, but you're accomplishing a lot in a short period of time. This idea that Joe Biden did such a great job as president is just, nobody believes that. I mean, his inability to lead, to function, to answer questions, I mean, it was just on display for all to see. I saw a clip just the other day that was Piers Morgan was talking to some young guy. He was like 20 or 21 years old. And the guy was defending Joe Biden, talking about how sharp Joe Biden was. And Piers was just incredulous. He's like, really? You're still maintaining that? He said the whole nation, the world that watched that debate with Trump realized this guy, he can't do it. He's not mentally able for the job. And the guy, no, he's sharp as a tack. I've met with him before, and man, he's just great, and he's on top of things. And it's like, what reality are you living in, pal? Because hey, we don't live in the world that we want. We live in the world that is, and you have to be, you have to be sober-minded and saying, okay, this is what we have here. And hey, you may love the guy; he may be a family member, but if he's not able to do the job, he's not able to do the job. You know, it's kind of like a football coach. If a football coach has his son on the team, and his son is not very good. I have a friend of mine who had a son on his team, and his son wasn't as good as the other player that was vying for his position. And he had to say to his son, hey, the other guy's going to play and you're not. And even though you're my son, I'm the coach. I have to wear the coach's hat, and the coach can't just say, well, regardless of who's the best player, I'm going to play my son. You just can't do that. You have to be sober-minded. You have to be honest in your evaluation, and there's no way that that Joe Biden was able to do the job. Should never have been put in there. And, you know, now the Democrats complain and say, well, it's Joe's fault that all this has happened and that Kamala's not president and he should have stepped aside a long time ago. But, you know, they created their own disaster. Well, one of the things I got into with Jenna just briefly was the Christian factor for Donald Trump. I find this just fascinating because Donald Trump, although he was interviewed by Laura Ingraham in July of 2024, and he did not give an answer that was satisfactory in my mind about salvation. He said this, they were talking about heaven. He said, religion, you know, it gives you some hope. Gee, if I'm good, I'm going to heaven. If I'm good, I'm going to heaven. And if I'm bad, I'm going someplace else, like over there, right? And the right is with a question mark, you know, isn't that right, Laura? Well, that's the way the world thinks, that, you know, your good works get to you to heaven and your bad works are going to send you to hell. And, you know, the average person in our world today thinks that God is like Santa Claus. He's making a list, checking it twice, going to find out who's naughty and nice. And that when you die, you stand before God and he has this big scale, like the scales of justice, you know, the scales in chemistry, this big balance. And he puts your good works on one side and your bad works on the other side. And if your good works outweigh your bad works, guess what? You get to go to heaven. But if your bad works outweigh your good works, hey, sorry, Charlie, you didn't make it. You're going someplace else. You're going over there. You're going to hell. That is exactly wrong. I mean, that couldn't be more wrong. The salvation is not as a result of works, that lest any man should boast. Ephesians chapter 2, for by grace, what is grace? God's unmerited favor toward undeserving sinners. For by grace you've been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, lest any man should boast. Hey, if you could get to heaven because of your good works, well, you would have a cause for boasting. You would be able to say in heaven, you know why I'm here? I'm here because I was so good. There are no peacocks, Adrian Rogers used to say, no peacocks in heaven. There's nobody strutting around in heaven, lest any man should boast. Now, this is what people get confused on, because they look at Christianity and they say, well, good works are important. As James said, you show me your faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith with the works. Faith without works is dead, being by itself. And as I had a teacher in college in a New Testament class say this, it's faith alone that saves, but faith alone is never alone. If you have true faith, you will have works. So listen to Ephesians again. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Salvation is a gift of God, not as a result of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, his poema, his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus for good works. We're created for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So works are the fruit of salvation. They're not the root of salvation. Works do not produce salvation. Works are produced by salvation. And good works figure into the Christian life in this way. If you're really saved, faith without works is dead. If you're really saved, you're going to have works. But it's not, you don't point to the works and say, the works saved me. You say, hey, because Jesus saved me, now my life has changed, and now the fruit in my life is not rotten. It's not the deeds of the flesh. It's the love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, Galatians chapter 5. It's the fruit of the Spirit. The deeds of the flesh are rotten, but the fruit of the Spirit is wonderful. And good works don't make you a Christian. Good works show to the world that you belong to Jesus. Jesus said, "You're the light of the world. Let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." So I agree with Jenna. We need to be praying for Donald Trump. I think Donald Trump, as Jesus said to one man, you're not far from the kingdom. And, you know, I've had people on the program, people that I love and trust. They say that Christians that are close to Donald Trump say that they believe that he's a believer. Now, based on what he said to Laura Ingraham, I would say he doesn't understand salvation. But sometimes a baby Christian cannot really understand. They can have salvation, but they can't verbalize it very well. And so I realize that. One thing is for certain. Donald Trump sees the value in Christianity. Donald Trump acknowledges God and his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He acknowledges the cross and the empty tomb. And he likes Christians. Marco Rubio gave a great testimony after he was sworn in. Pete Hegseth gave a strong testimony during his interrogation. Mike Huckabee, a dear friend, he loves the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And you know, Trump picked him. I want you to be the ambassador to Israel. And so we love the fact that Donald Trump welcomes people to pray for him. And J.D. Vance, you know, the famous line at Kamala Harris's rally when somebody said Jesus is Lord, she said, "Oh, you're at the wrong rally." Well, that is pretty telling because Jesus wasn't welcome at her rally. And let's face it, Jesus is not welcome in the Democrat platform. When you write your platform and you adopt the sins of Romans chapter 1, you can rest assured Jesus is not welcome there. But as it was said then, just a few days later, somebody cried out, "Jesus is Lord," at a J.D. Vance rally, a Trump rally, and J.D. Vance said, "That's right, Jesus is Lord." Big, big difference. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And when we come back from the break, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, I would love to talk to you and hear from you. So give me a call and let's talk. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop. So we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We've been talking about Trump's blitzkrieg of a first week of his presidency, getting so much accomplished and throwing so much against the wall. And it just makes reporters' heads spin. They don't know where to go with this because there's so much happening. And my friend Roger Javens, who he and I have been friends for a long, long time, he listens to the program. He sent me this post from a guy on X named Cynical Publius. And anyway, he said this, it's pretty funny. He said, to fully understand just how remarkable today's exchange with Colombia was, you need to understand how Washington, D.C. has traditionally worked through these sorts of issues and the different way it works now under Trump. And so that was the issue with Colombia. We were going to send two plane loads of illegals back to them, their home country, and the president of Colombia said, no, we're not taking them. You can't land here. And so this is the traditional approach. Colombia announces it will not take our repatriation flights. So on Monday, the State Department convenes an interagency task force with all these groups, DOD, NSC, DEA, Treasury, Homeland Security, ICE, all these groups. The task force meets for 4 days and develops a position paper. The position paper is rejected by the Secretary of State, who is unhappy that insufficient equity considerations are built into the process. The task force reconvenes a week later to develop three new equity-centric courses of action and create a new position paper. The process is delayed a week because Washington, D.C. gets 3 inches of snow. Secretary of State approves the new position paper for interagency circulation, and considerable input is received from the heads of other departments, so the task force must reconvene. The original three proposed responsive courses of action are now scrapped in favor of a new fourth course of action that achieves the worst aspects of the three prior courses of action but satisfies the interagency. And just on and on and on, and it ends this way. Over a month after the issue is first raised, the State Department public affairs officer holds a press conference announcing that Colombia has agreed to try to send fewer criminals into the United States, and everyone declares victory. That was the old way of doing things, Trump's approach. Colombia announces it will not take our repatriation flights. After a par 5 third hole, where he goes one under par, Trump uses his iPhone to post on social media as to how the USA will destroy Colombia's economy if they do not do what the USA demands. By the time Trump gets to the par 4 sixth hole, Colombia's president has agreed to repatriate all the illegal Colombians in his own plane, which he will pay for. Trump finishes 3 under par and goes to the clubhouse for a Diet Coke, where he posts a gangsta AI image of himself and the new doctrine. And they say that is winning. See the difference? It's called leadership. Trump's not playing around. And so you mess with the bull, you're going to get the horns, and he's not going to back off. And there was an old song, country and western song, that said, I played chicken with a train. You know, the game of chicken, who's going to veer off first? If you play chicken with a train, you're going to lose every single time. You're not going to play chicken with the train twice because you're dead. And so it seems like the president of Colombia wanted to play chicken with Trump, and Trump called his bluff, and that guy backed down within something like 35 minutes. So the difference in strength and leadership, peace through strength. That's what Ronald Reagan used to say, peace through strength. And that's the way America needs to be, in my opinion. And people respond to that. And when you're on the side of doing what is right, you can stand firmly and boldly on that position and not back down. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Patrick on the line from Texas. Patrick, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, hello, Brother Jeff. Thank you for having me on.
Yes, sir.
Hey, I've got, so look, first of all, I love what you've had to say with Jenna and yourself this morning and all the comments, and I have been a long time Trump supporter. Not because I think the guy is a phenomenal guy. I don't worship the guy. I love the Lord Jesus first and foremost, right? But I also recognize a person who can foment change. And I've long since 2015-16 supported him because he's got three tools in his bag that are extremely massive tools that no other candidate or no other president possesses. And I'm kind of blown away that people don't see this. His first tool is the man commands the microphone. Just like what you just said right there with the president of Colombia, right? Number one, so the microphone. Number two is a sledgehammer. Nobody can disrupt like Trump, ever. We've never seen anybody do this before in history. And the third thing, which is normally not a tool that is beneficial for most, is his ego. That works to our benefit because the man goes out and makes promises on the campaign trail, and then his ego demands that he fulfills each and every one of those promises, because if he doesn't, he looks like a liar and a cheat and someone that just, you know, persuaded the public to vote for him and then doesn't deliver. So this is the tool that this pack of tools, I should say, that I've seen for this whole entire time, for all these years. It doesn't mean I'm a smart guy or anything like that, but I just happened to see this and I'm going, man, I wondered why for so many years, so many people couldn't recognize the value in that pack of tools. I love Ron DeSantis. I think he's a great governor, and I think he would make a great president. But does he have the demand to get the microphone? Does he have the ability to use a sledgehammer to wipe out the entire, you know, with one swoop, the entire government that needs to be taken out and put away, you know, put to bed? And does he have an ego that drives him to, you know, to fulfill his promises? What are your thoughts, Jeff?
Yeah, I don't care for the ego, but I like the idea that, you know, if Trump makes a promise, then he's going to follow through on that promise. And what motivates him to do that? Well, if ego is figured in there to motivate him to do that, that's one way to do it. Or just hey, I'm gonna keep my word. You know, Trump is this go round. He seems to be a little less, you know, bombastic in his rhetoric, as far as, you know, I had the biggest crowd, like he did in 2017. I didn't understand that. It's like, who cares about that stuff? So he seems to be a little more focused in on doing what is best for the American people. I love that. I think the thing about Trump that every person, love him or hate him, you have to admire about that guy is his boldness, his courage, and his willingness to take a beating in the public square and keep standing there. I've never seen anybody that does it like he does. And people admire that, because people admire tenacity, and they admire somebody that will stand up, that has courage. And courage begets courage. Fear begets fear, and courage begets courage. And President Trump has a lot of courage. My prayer for him, Patrick, is that God would give him wisdom, and that Trump would listen and continue to surround himself with people that speak into his life from a wise biblical perspective, people that would pray. And Trump welcomes that. He wants us to pray for him. And so I think that is wonderful. And, you know, we're not going to, as Jenna said earlier, with anybody in the office of the presidency, we're not going to agree with 100% of everything he does. But when we have somebody in there that we're saying, yes, this is right, and yes, we do need to put America first, and we do need to make things safe for American citizens, and we don't need to be sending billions of dollars to other countries when we have people right here that have been devastated by fire or by hurricane, and we're giving them $750. That's just... that's America last. That's the policy we had with the Biden administration. And people are saying, we don't, let's scrap that immediately. Let's do what he's doing. And, you know, if we're the big boy on the block, we're not going to let Colombia tell us how things are going to be. And I love that about Trump. And so I think you're onto something there, Patrick. The sledgehammer for sure, the microphone for sure. You know, he like Ronald Reagan is able to use the microphone well. He's a very good communicator. J.D. Vance is a very good communicator without losing his cool. And I think those two guys together make a great president, vice president.
No, I'm not surprised. at the speed. Remember, Reagan had held the previous record for the most accomplished in the first 100 days of a term. That was beat by Trump in 2017, okay, in the first 100 days. And I think Trump has learned from his mistakes that he made in the first term, which was to trust a bunch of rhinos, number one, to appoint whoever, right, that turned out to be a dog. But at the end of the day, I think Trump has learned from his mistakes. And now, obviously, I'm very thankful. I'm very grateful that the man has hit the ground running 100 days ago, right after the election, right? This guy was automatically already talking about who he's appointing. to get the ball rolling in the right direction. So, hey, Jeff, let's pray for him real quick. Lord God, in the name of Jesus, we ask you, Lord God, to come, you know, into our hearts and in our minds by the power of your Holy Spirit and lift President Trump up, Lord, and reveal yourself to him in such a way where, Lord God, where he's obedient to you, that he listens to you, that he hears from you, and he's led by you. I'm reminded of I believe it's a psalm that the Lord says he'll speak to you in your ear. It's almost like he's standing behind you and whispering in your ear and pointing you in the direction you should go, the scripture says. I believe that's how it goes. And Lord, I ask you that you do that to President Trump, and that you put your finger in front of his face, so to speak, or, you know, from behind him, and whisper in his ear, just point to him in the direction that he shall go, Lord, and that he will fulfill the blessings that this nation needs, and that we, you know, get the right leadership out of this man, that you protect him from sin, you protect him from harm, and that you, you know, bless America with him. In the name of Jesus, we pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. It's a good word. Thanks, Patrick. Yeah, that's from the book of Isaiah, where the Lord says that you will hear a voice behind you. This is the way, walk in it. And so, yeah, we need to continue to pray for him. Well, I appreciate you calling in, Patrick. Good stuff. We have Carl on the line from Texas. Carl, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, sir. I agree with everything Patrick said. I was just going to comment J.D. Vance's interview yesterday, when the lady disagreed with sending the criminals, illegals, back. And I would have asked her a question. I would ask her, why do you want them here? Is it because they might vote Democrat, or they might help destroy America? They need to get right back at them with the same kind of question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, he was great the way he handled that, because he said, you know, you say we're vetting these people. He used an example from a guy that was planning to just, you know, cause problems and terrorist attack. And he said that guy was supposedly vetted. She goes, oh, well, we don't know if that was beforehand or afterward. He said, I don't care what it was. I don't want the guy in my country. And, you know, I mean, who would? It doesn't make any sense at all. The position that they take on the left regarding all these people that are in the country illegally is indefensible. It's like, they're, as Tom Homan said, well, they've committed crimes. They're criminals because they came into the country illegally. And why do we want that? Somebody posted a picture on X, and they said, you know, it was a family of eight or something like that, and they look like the all American family, and from South America, and it's just like, this is what the liberal media wants you to think about these people. And then underneath the picture was all these gang members, thug looking guys with, you know, young guys in their 20s looking like they want to, you know, cause trouble. And he said, that's the reality. And so the media wants you to think all these people are, you know, they're the offspring of Betty Crocker, but they're not. And they're here to cause trouble, just like what we had in Colorado with the Venezuelan gangs taking over apartment complexes and all that stuff. That's what we need to get out of our country. And so I appreciate the fact that J.D. Is so good in those interviews, and he comes to the table with facts. And as I said, I think the position on the left is indefensible. We don't want that. That's why we have laws on the books, and we need to enforce the laws. So I appreciate the call, Carl. We have time for one last call. Justin in Alabama. Justin, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, sir. I'm just calling to kind of not to be the grammar police, but I mean, I do love a game of Scrabble. I just wanted to say that on the prior caller, or the previous caller, I was just going to say that maybe not the word ego or pride, but the word integrity and character. You know, I think those are probably the better terms to use, because pride comes before a fall. And mm-hmm. as a former Satanist, ego is completely all about, you know, we don't need ego. Let me just say it that way.
Right. Right. Well, and you know, Trump struggles with that, but I do think this. I think he does love the American people. He loves America. He wants to do what's right for America. And so it's not all about him when he's governing. It's about what is best for the people. And I think folks are seeing that. The fact that he takes no salary, the fact that he gets things done, and he goes to North Carolina, and he goes to L.A. and sees what the damage for himself firsthand. He doesn't wait on those things. He goes and does those things, and he leads, and I appreciate that about him. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. It's always a joy to be with you. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.